1 Corinthians 2, starting at verse 1. Let's pay careful attention to God's word. "And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." And then our text this afternoon, verses 6 through 16. "Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But, as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." So far, God's word. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to give us a blessing on this word. Holy Spirit, come and help us this afternoon to understand your word, the word of God. We thank you that because of Pentecost, you have been poured out on us. That if we believe in you, if we are in Jesus Christ, we have your Holy Spirit to lead us, to guide us, to make us wise. So do so this afternoon, we pray. Open our hearts. Teach us. Encourage us. Instruct us. Move us this afternoon, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I wasn't living, or we as a family weren't living in Christchurch when the big one struck. Who was living here? Who was living in Christchurch? There's a few, but actually not that many of us here this afternoon, was it? I was. Our family at the time were living in Whanganui, and we certainly felt it in Whanganui. And I remember when it happened very, very vividly, because my first thought was, that was a big one. And yes, I know, I didn't experience it in the way that some of you did here on the ground. That was a big one, but I also thought that it was happening in Wellington. I'd grown up in Wellington as a boy, and there was always that promise that the big one was going to hit Wellington. And because it was so strong, I thought, that must be the case. So imagine my surprise, and the surprise of many of us, when we found out that it was indeed in Christchurch. And there were lots of reports and lots of news reports in those first couple of days. And there was something that I noticed in a number of the experts. We get that, don't we? We've had that during COVID-19. On the news, you'll see all these experts come and tell you what's happening, why it's going to happen, predicting what's going to happen in the future. But there were a number of experts that I paid attention to on the news that really struck me. On that first day, maybe the first 2 days, there were a number of experts on TV that said, we were caught by surprise. We didn't see this happening. We don't know why and how this happened in Christchurch of all places. And it was that refreshing honesty that struck me. Here were experts not spouting out all sorts of things to impress us, but actually saying, We don't know. We don't understand what's going on. Now, that only lasted for a couple of days, and then they found some new experts who waffled on and told us about why this was happening and this was going to happen, etc., etc. But I appreciate that honesty. That showed to me a real wisdom. But when it comes to true wisdom, the wisdom that Paul speaks about here in our passage, the world is not an expert. And the world doesn't know what they don't know. Does that make sense if I say that? The world doesn't know what it doesn't know. It's not wise to the things of eternity. That can only come through God. That it can only come through the Holy Spirit who gives that wisdom. So this evening we're going to see that the Holy Spirit makes us wise. The Holy Spirit makes us wise. And the first thing we're going to see is the wisdom of the world. Paul is speaking about the wisdom of the world in the first couple of verses there of chapter 2. When I came to you, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. Think of those experts on TV who spout knowledge, who try to impress you. Well, think of our politicians and the way that they talk and the empty talk and the words that sound impressive but are really empty. Paul says, I want nothing to do with that. That's not the kind of wisdom that I am bringing to you. That's not the wisdom that the world wants. But it's the wisdom that the mature understand. Verse 6 of our text, the first verse there, verse 6. Yet among the mature, we do impart wisdom. Who are the mature here? What does it mean to be mature? Well, quite simply, the mature here means believers. Those who are wise because of the Holy Spirit. Those who believe in Jesus Christ are people who are mature. Does that mean they know everything about God? No. But they have the wisdom that comes from the Holy Spirit to know the things of God that are important that we're going to talk about shortly. But what about the wisdom of the world, the wisdom of this world? Where does it get people? Paul says in verse 6, it gets people nowhere. The wisdom of this age and of the rulers of this age, the idea there of that is that it's the here and now, or even it's out of date already. It doesn't have any future. The wisdom of the world is like the 80s or the 90s. They're so long ago. It's like flares and cargo pants. Although I believe that some of those are coming back again. Is that right, Grace? Yes, Grace is one of our fashion experts at home. You won't see me in them. But they're so back then. There's no future in them. The wisdom of this world has no eternal future. They're like the leaders of this age. As Paul says there in our passage, the rulers of this age. They are doomed to pass away. Paul has in mind here the Jewish leaders and the Roman leaders, who were theoretically the wisest people in the world at the time. But they weren't wise. And their wisdom gets them nowhere. They are doomed to pass away. The wisdom of the world is going to pass away. And Paul contrasts that with the wisdom that matured people have, that believers have, that's going to outlast the world, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. A wisdom that transcends the ages, that is there for all time. The wisdom of the Spirit, the wisdom of God, that is there for our glory. Did you notice that there in the end of verse 7? Which God decreed before the ages for our glory. And that's not a phrase that we'd normally hear, is it? What's the chief end of man? Can someone tell me? Westminster Shorter Catechism. To glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And we hear that all the time. Rightly so, don't we? God deserves the glory. We heard about that this morning. But yet here Paul says, God has given us wisdom for our glory, for our benefit. that makes our eternal future secure. That's a remarkable statement if you think about it. God's wisdom for us, for our glory, to make us secure eternally. But Paul's point here in this section is that the world just doesn't get it. He's going to say later on at the end of our passage, they can't get it, they can't understand it. The world is blind to the wisdom of God. They don't have spiritual eyes. They don't have spiritual ears, verse 9, what the eye has seen nor ear heard. They can't imagine the things, the eternal things of God. The world has no eternal hope. That's the wisdom of the world. But there's also a wisdom that comes from the Spirit. And verse 9 is a transition. Because what no eye has seen, no ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him, comes to those who believe through the Holy Spirit. And that's our second point this afternoon. Wisdom comes from the Spirit. How do we experience this? How do we get the wisdom of God? It comes to us through the Holy Spirit. Paul says in verse 10, the Spirit opens our eyes, makes us believers, makes us mature, opens our ears so that we can hear the things of God, allows us to see the things of God. And what are those things? What is it that God has prepared for those who love him? It's our salvation. It's the message of Jesus Christ, the message that Paul gave, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2, nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified. The Holy Spirit allows us to see what we need to see, what we need to have, salvation from Jesus Christ. And Paul goes on to speak here about the credentials of the Holy Spirit. He says the Holy Spirit, it's this in verse 10 there, the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. Now Google knows a lot, doesn't it? Google knows an awful lot. In fact, Google in some ways makes us kind of dumb. We don't need to remember phone numbers anymore, do we? We just Google them. If we want to know any information, we just Google it. But the knowledge that Google has, and that's ever increasing by the minute, by the second, is nothing compared to the knowledge of the Holy Spirit. Compared to the Holy Spirit, the knowledge that Google has is like the first reading book that you had when you were a child. Like that book about Spot. Here comes Spot. See Spot run. All the boys and girls here now can read so much farther than that. And if that's all you had to read, you'd think that was pretty silly, isn't it? But that's what the knowledge of the world is, the knowledge that the world is, compared to the knowledge of God, the knowledge of the Holy Spirit in particular. The Holy Spirit searches out the depths of God. That doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit doesn't know about God. No, it means that the Holy Spirit is able to understand everything about God, all of God, the depths of the knowledge of God. And he gives a little example to help us understand that, verse 11 of 1 Corinthians 2. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. It's a bit of a mouthful, that verse, if you read it, isn't it? But what Paul is basically saying this: think of your own thoughts. Think of your deepest, darkest thoughts. No one else knows those, do they? No other human being knows your deepest, darkest, or your deepest good thoughts. Only you know those. And it's the same for the Holy Spirit with regard to God. The reason that the Holy Spirit knows the deepest thoughts of God is because he is God. He is divine. He is God. The Holy Spirit is God. He's one of the three persons of God. That's how he can know all about God. And that's an encouragement to us, brothers and sisters. The Holy Spirit, who is God, who knows all things about God, lives in us, works in us, helps us to understand, makes us wise. Helps us to know the things of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. The things that Paul and the apostles spoke in verse 13. We impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit. We spoke spiritual things. We didn't speak in human terms. We didn't have to speak like politicians, like experts, fancy words, dressed up, aiming to impress. No, we told you the simple things of God, the spiritual things, which you could understand because you have the Holy Spirit. Spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He helps us to understand God. And that's why the world doesn't understand, because they're not spiritual. They don't have the Holy Spirit. They're blind. They don't want to know. The Holy Spirit gives us wisdom to understand God. Not completely, but to understand what of God we need to know. And that leads us to our third and final point this afternoon. The Spirit helps us judge wisely. In verse 14, Paul gives a contrast again. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. And he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned or spiritually judged or spiritually understood. The things of God, the message of the gospel, the person of Jesus Christ, are folly to the world. The world thinks that God and Jesus is a joke, something not to be taken seriously. We can tend to do that ourselves, don't we, sometimes? When we don't understand something, we make fun of it. The world does that with God and Jesus Christ. The world isn't interested in the spiritual things, because they don't have the Holy Spirit to make them wise. And Paul goes on there to say in verse 15, the spiritual person, the mature person, the believer, judges all things. Does that mean we can judge? Does that mean that we have free rein to criticize people? Doesn't it say in Matthew that we shouldn't judge? Is this passage saying that we can just go out and judge people how we like? That'd be really great for us good, reformed, judgmental types, wouldn't it? Well, that's not what the passage is saying. But the passage is saying that, yes, we can judge. We can make judgments. We can discern things because we have spiritual eyes and spiritual ears given to us by the Holy Spirit. What do I mean by this? Well, have you ever talked to someone that you know, and someone that knows that you're a Christian? You try and speak to them about the gospel. You try and speak to them about godly things, and they just don't get it. They just don't want to get it. You can see the path that they're tracking, that they're going down in their life, and you just want to grab them and shake them and say, man, you need Jesus Christ. You need the hope. Can't you see the path you're taking is going to end in despair? It's going to end in destruction. The person themselves can't see it. They don't understand it. But you can see where they're headed and where they're going. That is the kind of judgment that Paul is talking about here. The understanding that we can have because we have the Holy Spirit. With the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, we can see the idols in non-Christians' lives. Money, time, the things they hold on to, the vanity and the emptiness of those things, the hurt that people are causing themselves. And because of that, because we can see that, that should drive us to care, to worry about them, to pray for them, to talk to them, to pray that the Holy Spirit would work in their hearts so that they too would be able to understand their need for Jesus Christ. the wisdom that comes from the Holy Spirit should drive us to go out and proclaim the message, the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ. To give us the eyes that can see where people are headed. So we can be thankful this afternoon that because of Jesus Christ, and because of the work of Pentecost, I should say, our eyes are opened, that we are able to see, that we can have a heart and a passion for the lost, and that we can also be assured about our own lives and our own salvation. That's what Paul goes on to speak about there in the end, second half of verse 15. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. We live in a world that makes fun of Christians. You may yourself have faced ridicule, made fun of, because of the choices that you make as a Christian, because of the things that you say. And Paul is saying here, you don't need to worry about that. Because the world doesn't understand, the world can't see, and you don't need to fear the judgment of the world. It's like an earthquake expert doesn't need to fear me at all. I have no place to go and talk to an expert, a geologist, isn't it? Scientist, an earthquake. Seismologist, thank you, Kirsten. I've got no place to go and tell a seismologist everything about earthquakes because he's the expert. He knows his field. He doesn't need to fear me or any theories that I might come up to him or any fun I might make of his fancy machines. And it's like that for us in the world. We need not fear the world because they can't judge us. Nothing they can say or do can change our eternal security, can remove the wisdom that we have through the work of the Holy Spirit. Who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? No one in the world has understood the mind of the Lord. No one can understand the mind of Jesus Christ. But we, Paul says, have the mind of Christ. He's not saying that we know God fully, that we know the fullness of God, but he's saying we know enough. If we're in Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit, we know what we need to know. We are wise in the way of salvation. We are wise in the way of truth. And the Holy Spirit, by making us wise, leads us into that truth. That's the main work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, to help us understand. And where can we learn that, boys and girls? What tool do you think the Holy Spirit uses most of all to help us understand God and life? Can anyone tell me? What tool? What does the Holy Spirit give us? Starts with B.
Ends and
eyeball, that's right. Bible, that's it. Yes, good. The Bible. You know the answer, I'm sure. I just made it a little bit tricky for you to get it. The Bible is what the Holy Spirit uses to make us even more wise, to help us to understand. He leads us into all truth, we read in the book of John. So we can give thanks this afternoon, brothers and sisters, boys and girls. We can give thanks that if we're in Jesus Christ, we are wise. We received an amazing gift that the world just doesn't have. If you're not in Jesus Christ, if you want that wisdom, then that's a sign that the Holy Spirit is already at work in your life. But this evening, for all of us, I pray, we can give thanks for the Spirit's ongoing life work in our lives, for the ability to judge for God, for a heart that wants us to pray for people, to reach out to people who are missing out, who are walking this world blind, headed for doom and destruction, headed to simply pass away. We can pray that the Holy Spirit will stir us up to tell people about the things of God, the most important thing any person needs to know, salvation in Jesus Christ. Let's pray now for the Holy Spirit to help us, to give us a heart for the lost, to help us to grow in our spiritual walk and in our spiritual wisdom. Let's pray together. Please pray with me. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. That because of the Holy Spirit, we have hope. The Holy Spirit who makes Jesus Christ a reality for us. A Holy Spirit that gives us eyes to see, ears to hear, that helps us and unites us and makes us one with Jesus Christ. We thank you that because of the Holy Spirit poured out in Pentecost, we can grow in our knowledge of you. Help us to use that knowledge, that wisdom, and the eyes of faith that we're given through the Holy Spirit to search out for the lost, to speak to people about the message of hope that they need to hear. Work in the hearts, Heavenly Father. Work in the hearts, Holy Spirit, of those who we know who are near and dear to us, who are walking down a blind path. Stir their hearts. Open their eyes, open their spiritual ears, that they may hear the message of truth, and use us to bring that message to them, we pray. We pray for the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit, of your Holy Spirit in our lives, to help us to grow, to learn about you, and not just to learn and fill our head with knowledge, but to make that a knowledge worked out in our lives, the gospel worked in our lives, as we honor you, as we live for you, as we speak about you. And we thank you as we were reminded or learnt about this evening that the Holy Spirit, the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, your wisdom, is given for our glory to make us eternally secure. That we can look forward to a time when we will be glorified, when we will be perfect, when we will be complete. We look forward to that day. May we be encouraged by your Spirit as we go out this week to proclaim your name, to bring the wisdom, your wisdom, to the world. A wisdom also that we need to know in our hearts and in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said together, Amen.